And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation. It's Aubrey Bloom. And in keeping with this week of not the usual co-host, today I'm joined by David Campbell here to hang out.
Yeah, good to be here. I kind of feel like you look for that opportunity to step in and be the star. And the fact that, Cease is off and Richard is off
Primo is off. Kroom is off. Everybody's off.
Yeah.
No one's here today.
So I'll try to be off a little today.
For about 45 minutes, I was the only one in the newsroom. So if you had news, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, you weren't going to.
No, I'm not going to run out.
If it were real news, you wouldn't have covered it.
I would have called Sam, is what I would have done. I was not going to go out. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of. MSCOpus.org for all the information there. Lots of cool shows, including the new one announced yesterday. Lyle Lovett going to play in November, so go check that out.
Oh,
MSCOpus.org. All right.
I like Lyle Lovett. My wife likes Lyle Lovett. We may need to. When's it going to be?
It's November 3rd. So there you go.
I think it's like a football night?
I think
something?
It's like a Tuesday or Wednesday. So okay. I think you're probably okay.
Might do that.
You guys know how it works on the Friday show. We need y'all to get us through this. I have things I might talk about. Otherwise, we might just start reading haikus on the show. I was reading a haiku before the show to David over here.
That's the first time I've ever gone to a radio show in my life and somebody read a haiku to me.
Yeah, this is the Bloom experience is different from most places. 229-1939 is the text line. Send us your questions, your comments, your lifelong debates. Is a hot dog a sandwich? I don't know. Maybe we'll get to that. It's whatever you want to send us. 229-1939. We'll weigh in on.
Just out of curiosity, did you find one of the cheap hot dog deals yesterday? Because there were a lot of them out there.
I'm not a hot dog guy.
Really?
Plus, I've been trying to eat a little better. Like earlier, the guys invited me to go over to Jesse's for lunch, which I love Jesse's tacos over there, but I stuck to my salad that I brought in. So
wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, it doesn't work every day, but some days are better than others. So it's a long-term plan.
So these are the salad days.
Yeah, this is a salad day. Yeah. Probably why I'm so fired up. The salad's not quite enough for me. So
yeah, if you're eating hot dogs, you're not writing haikus.
Right. Hot dogs and haikus don't go together.
Right.
Everyone knows that. So, whatever. 229-1939, anything on your mind, hit us up. We will debate it. We will settle it. To your content or not, or otherwise, whatever.
Yeah, I had to. Well, you were away last Friday. I actually had to be on your side of the desk
and
do the deals,
then?
Which is frightening. I mean, it's not something I enjoy. I like being like the number two guy on here and let you do all the work.
Yeah.
And then I can just kind of comment on what you have to say. This
right.
is fun.
If I run out of topics, it's my fault. It's never the number two guy.
That's right.
Fault.
That's right.
But there you go. Hit us up. Whatever you want to talk about, 229-1939. One thing we are going to talk about today, and I'm wearing my casual Friday Astros jersey, is because the Astros, once again, they're hot. They're hot, David. They've won 5 out of 6.
Are.
They won. They swept the Red Sox, who are terrible, by the way. Really unfathomably terrible, given their payroll. Just awful. So they got rid of them. They go to Kansas City tonight for a huge series
big
with the Royals. And the starting pitcher tonight, newly acquired Scott Kazmir.
Picked him up
Oakland? Will be the pitcher.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm hype. I'm hype today. I'm upset at people on Twitter, but I'm hype about the Astros.
That's a good looking Astros shirt too, the jersey.
Yeah, it's like the BP jersey is the one I went with. I don't want anyone's number. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think you can wear a number of somebody younger than you, personally. I think that's an odd thing to do. And unfortunately, I'm older than all the Astros. Kazmir is a little older than me, but the rest of the Astros are all younger than I am. And I like the BP. I just like the logo on the shirt. I don't need the words. I don't need a last name on the back.
Too.
I don't need a number. Just the H star is all I got. But we think of the Astros. They're back.
Yeah, I actually think they really are back. I mean, they're I think they're hitting. I mean, Altuve, what's he hitting since the All-Star break? He's got to be off the charts.
Oh, he's back
man.
Over 300 on the season. So I mean, since the break,
so he's probably hitting about 450 right now yeah. in the second half. You know, I mean, the guys. And we talk all the time about the Astros have not having guys that hit for average. That it's all home runs or
that's true.
And so you got a guy hitting for average too.
Well, and Correa is right around 300 right? too since he's been called up, and his numbers are almost enough now that you can start drawing some. You know, his average doesn't completely swing with one game or another.
You know, I've said before, I don't have a lot of teams that I follow where I'm just a true fan of. The Rangers is one of those teams, so I'll follow the Rangers. But I will say this about the Astros, and I go back to the Colt 45 days with the Astros when there were no Rangers. they were barely the Washington Senators at that time. But I've always thought the Astros were a fun team to kind of pay attention to from that standpoint, but I don't follow them like you guys do.
Well, and it's been a fun year. We've talked about this kind of once a week throughout the season, that it's been a long road back. And I was reading a story this morning talking about the signing of Kazmir, and one of the guys had said that, you know, the Astros are one of the most horribly mismanaged teams in the pros for a few years, which was true, but not the years he was talking about. He was talking about the 100 loss seasons. Those were intentional. At least two of them were. Certainly one of them was. The other one might have been. They were absolutely trying to be not just bad, but trying to be the worst team in baseball.
I think the other one was a take what you can get, but I think one of them they were intended to be bad. I agree with that.
And so, you know, and they've been coming up since then. As Josh was talking about earlier, most people pointed to next year as the year the Astros would be able to make a run at the postseason. But we've talked on the show. We bring Julia in from Root Sports about every other week. We had her on earlier this week to talk about it. And it's an interesting time because this is a new owner. We haven't seen the Astros in contention with this owner. And the question was, would they be buyers this year? Do they believe that they're in the mix this year?
She got that answer.
And we got the answer now. So the Astros think they can make a run this year, obviously, by going out and signing Kazmir. So I guess we'll see.
Long-time Astro fans and I talked to, that it's a little bit like long-time A&M fans. They always sort of assume disasters around the corner.
Oh, absolutely.
And I guess you just kind of build up. And Ranger fans do that too, trust me, because we've seen the worst of the worst. But it's just amazing to me. People can't enjoy the good stuff because they think the bad stuff's coming.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of how, like you said, that's how A&M fans are for sure, waiting for the other shoe to drop, as the saying goes. And so we'll see. The Astros now, what, a game back of the Angels as of today, going into that big series with the Royals. We'll see. Last night's game was exciting, by the way. My girlfriend gets mad at me all the time because now that we have Root Sports,
right,
I kind of put on the Astros usually about the fourth or fifth inning and then watch to the end. Sometimes I watch the whole game, but for the most part, you know, we'll be making dinner or whatever, and then I'll throw on the last four or five innings. And it's always like around like 9:30. And last night's game did take a little longer than normal. So
took the bottom of the ninth, right?
But it was worth it. The payoff was good last night. The Jose Altuve walk-off home run was worth it. Mostly just because the physics involved of Jose Altuve hitting a home run. That's a lot of velocity, not much mass.
Right. Well, I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. It didn't get out by much either, did it? I mean, it was. I saw the deal, but didn't they review the thing?
I mean, they did review it. The review thing. Don't get me started. We've already done this a few times. Not on that one, because it was pretty close. Even in live action, I thought the guy touched it. But again, if I were king, you'd be able to touch it. If you're at your home park and the guy pulls it in, it's a home run. I'm all about that, but that's not how the rules work. Anyway, but they had a review earlier in the game on Hanley Ramirez. Is that his name? Hanley Ramirez?
Yeah,
the Red Sox, whatever he is. Stole second, and he clearly was safe, but Correa held the tag on him the entire time, and for like a half second, his foot lost contact with the bag while he was standing up. So the Astros like challenged it. The challenge, and this was the actual time, I'm not exaggerating, took over 4 minutes for them to say whether or not this guy was out. Like, that's the one we don't need. Basically, if you slide in safe, you should just be safe, unless you overslide the bag.
Yeah.
But once you're in the act of standing up, like, let's move on. Let's keep the game moving.
No kidding. Yeah.
That annoyed me. That annoyed me last night. But again, fun game.
Good and good finish, good start, and Astros closing a little bit on the Angels. Now they got to pull for the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, but yeah, I got to pull for the Rangers.
And the Rangers are kind of in an absolutely must-win situation.
Well, and the Rangers are sort of in a weird, because people keep talking about the Rangers being a potential destination for some of these free agents that we've heard about, especially Hamels.
I just don't, like, why?
Does Cole Hamels make the Rangers a playoff team? I don't see it.
No, I think the Rangers have got too many things that they have to build. But, you know, they've got all these guys that have been out with, like, long injuries.
That's true.
You know, they've been out for an extended period of time. So I guess they might see some positives down the line. But right now it just hardly seems. What are they, about 8 games back, something like that?
Yeah.
It seems like that's a long way to go. I mean,
it's kind of funny this year, though. It seems like the whole American League is within about 10 games of each other.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, a hot streak. I mean, yeah. A hot streak could get you going. I mean,
well, I did for the Angels. The Angels were 5 games back, and now they're leading the division. So,
yeah.
You know, there you go.
And, of course, part of that hot streak was against the Rangers, a large part of it. So that had a little something to do with that, kind of took them out of contention.
Yeah, and then I saw yesterday, was it 35 of the Astros' last 66 games are against AL West opponents. So that's going to tell the tale over the next month or so.
Wonder what the Astros' record is against the West.
I don't know off the top of my head. My feeling is that it's probably pretty good because their record against the Central is horrible, if I remember right. So my gut says it's pretty good, but we'll find out. But again, we'll talk a little Astros today because Altuve had a walk off. The Astros' momentum is back. Plus, I'm repping the H-star.
Yeah, today, you got so the H-star. You got it.
Talk about it. It's Friday. We talk Stros. All right, let's. Plus, we agreed earlier in the season that the Astros make the postseason. We're doing a show at Northgate, so we might need to start looking.
Is that a done deal? You got to scout a spot now?
Yeah, I was going to say we might need to start looking into the actual being able to do that.
Will I be filling in for anybody? I bet I don't get to fill in for that.
I think the idea was that because it was me and Primo when we did it,
yeah.
So it might be a Friday show from somewhere. At Northgate. We don't know any of the technical details of how this would actually work out. We don't even know that we're capable of doing a show at Northgate, though. Since we've done them at Hoover and Kyle Field, I imagine we can do one from there.
But yeah,
that's down the road potentially. We'll have to figure out how we're going to do this. Let's go to break. Let's come back. And when we come back, either we're going to talk about something y'all sent in, 229-1939, if y'all want us to weigh in on something, or we're going to talk about. You know, one of my favorite things is overcomplicating the issue. And the NFL has taken another step forward with the catch rule as of yesterday. So we might talk about that a little bit.
I read that this morning.
Yeah.
I still don't understand it. But you can explain it to me.
Oh,
thanks.
It's glorious. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Hit us up, 229-1939. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
The Cherry Rufino team. Buy or sell with me and use my moving van for free. Go to cherryrufino.com.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Don't miss the return of the Belucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Belucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student-athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Get an all-access pass to your Texas Rangers like never before with the brand new podcast, Dugout Dirt. Dugout Dirt is a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
The best compliments are when I receive a message from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
From the front office to the grounds crew, Dugout Dirt's mission is to tell the stories of the people that make the Texas Rangers a great organization. Listen online at texasrangers.com/podcast or subscribe to Texas Rangers podcasts on iTunes.
Entertainment news with Krista at 5:30 Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Sponsored by Premier Cinema on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Funky dogs, nasty dogs.
Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Wait on y'all's text. Hit us up 229-1939 with your great debates, your either ors, your who would wins, your man versus animal. We don't care, whatever it is. We will argue about it for sure. Someone texted in, and I got to admit, I got a full disclosure that someone is our good friend Larry Bowen.
Okay.
Texted in, after 4 days of near competence by Larry, do we question hole number two designation? For Aubrey's partner. I think he's calling you out here a little bit. I think Larry's saying the pressure's on. After a week of solid shows, the pressure's on you to close it on Friday.
Yeah. So I'm batting two? Is that what we're saying?
I think that's the deal. I think he's saying he's the Dallas Keuchel, and you've got to come in and be the Luke Gregerson of this week. So we'll see. Someone texted, any news on Jay Bradford? Negative. We do not have any updates on Jay Bradford at this time. An interesting situation there. I'm sure you've heard about all that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they can't really release anything, and he hasn't said anything publicly yet. So,
Back up just a minute, though. You're saying I'm in position for a save after Larry's been pitching like Keuchel all season.
Yeah. Larry put you in position for a save.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Yeah, you gotta close it out here.
All right.
Anything else, hit us up, 229-1939. No topic too small, nothing far enough off topic. It can be A&M related or it can't. We don't care. Okay, here's a hot take for you today, because I love if you want to see a good conversation that drives some people nuts, but I can't get enough of, is get a few drinks on a Friday night and then start debating rules of different sports. I love a good rules debate.
Right.
So the NFL has updated the catch rule. All right, this is the new rule. The new rule reads, according to Mike Pereira, quote, a player is considered to be going to the ground if he does not remain upright long enough to demonstrate that he is clearly a runner. If a player goes to the ground in the act of catching a pass, in parentheses, with or without contact by an opponent, he must maintain control of the ball until after his initial contact with the ground, whether in the field of play or in the end zone. If he loses control of the ball and the ball touches the ground before he regains control, the pass is incomplete.
So under the new rule, Dez Bryant didn't catch the pass. Under the old rule, he did.
Under either rule, he didn't catch
the pass.
No,
he did. He did. I saw it. He caught the pass.
Yeah, but here's the best thing about it.
It was the worst call ever. And even under the rule, I think he caught the pass.
Pereira goes off
the other way.
Well,
he's wrong.
Well, there's one more sentence here.
I don't care how many times you officiated. I saw it. You're wrong.
There's one more sentence here. If he regains control prior to the ball touching the ground, the pass is complete.
Okay, then
all
it
right.
was a touchdown.
Now,
because he caught it.
Because here's what they took out. They took out the football move thing. Because this is why
Which is what he did, right.
Right, this is why I thought it was a catch. Even though everyone knows I'm a Cowboys hater, I thought this was a catch because I thought the act of reaching towards the goal line
was a football move. Right, I agree.
But they've now taken that out. The football move doesn't matter. It's if he does not remain upright long enough to demonstrate that he is clearly a runner. Now, I don't know what clearly a runner is going to mean.
You know what?
Three steps, four steps.
This will happen the first Thursday night game of the season. This rule will come into play, I bet you.
Here's what I am interested to see. A guy gets hit catches it two steps in the end zone, or, you know, two steps in bounds, gets a step in the end zone, but is, like, falling, hits a wall out of play, and loses the football, incomplete, based on the new rule. Because he hasn't really established himself as a runner, right? He's got to...
Yes.
He's got to stay up.
So what you're saying is they in fixing the rule, they screwed it up even worse?
Well...
I think they might have.
Potentially. The football move thing was a little subjective. This isn't as subjective,
but
it could make more things incomplete.
Why not just do this? Let the official make an objective decision and don't have it overrulable.
I don't know. I'm,
let the official decide.
Well, there's got to, the thing about this is, and this is why I love the nuance of rules. There does have to be a rule, because you can't just have a catch czar in New York. I mean, I guess you could. These days, that's kind of what baseball does with replay.
Well, just do away with it.
You can't
appeal that. Whatever the official calls, you got to stay with it.
No, you can't do that. But you could
have been right last year.
You could have a catching czar somewhere in New York that just rules everything—a catch or not. I mean, I guess theoretically, that's kind of what baseball does with replay.
Too much replay.
I don't know. To me, it's going to make something. The repercussion of this is it's going to make something that used to be clearly a catch incomplete. And that's going to be interesting when that finally happens.
You know, as bad as the call was on Des Bryant, which I think was a terrible call, the Calvin Johnson catch several years ago was even worse.
He catches the ball.
He clearly has it in the end zone because he puts the ball down on the ground. I mean, that's a terrible call. It's just
you know what
call.
I've always thought would be interesting?
If you catch it with one hand.
If you could teach players to do this, because technically it would... I think it would default the rule, is if you taught your players that as soon as they catch it in the end zone, only in the end zone, transfer the ball to one hand and throw it, because by throwing the ball, you would have established possession. So I've always wondered if players could do that. You know, like, just catch it, one, two, get it in one hand, and then throw it. And then I don't know how they would rule that.
You know, I don't know. I like when people kind of take the rules and say, okay, let's test the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember for years and years, people used to, you know, when they'd punt the football, they would gather around the goal line trying to keep it from going into the goal line. And I remember watching the Cowboys one year, and Thomas Henderson was on the Cowboys punting team. So it's going down into the corner, and Henderson catches the ball before it goes in the end zone. He's on the punting team.
Yeah.
And... which is legal.
He just downed it and no one thought about it.
But nobody ever thought about it before. Nobody ever caught it when a guy moved away. And they always waited for it to bounce.
That one's good. I've always wondered why at the end of games or the end of, you know, when teams are trying to save time, a two-minute drill, I've always wondered why runners don't throw the ball out of bounds backwards. As long as you lateral it, the clock will stop, right? Because it's a dead ball out of bounds. So I've always wondered if people don't do that. You know, like you see a two-minute drill, a team's running, and the receiver takes off. You know, he catches it at the hash mark and takes off of the sideline trying to get out of bounds. Just throw it. As long as you throw it backwards, you're fine. It's a dead ball.
I've always
wondered why people don't do that. I'm sure coaches don't want their players to do that for fear that someone will hit it or it won't go all the way out of bounds and all this kind of stuff. But if you're close enough to the sideline, just pitch it out of bounds and you'll be fine. I don't know. I've always wondered why no one does that. But who knows?
I don't know. There's a lot of odd rules. The rule that I always liked that was the one where if somebody touches the ball but doesn't down it, and then you can pick it up and return.
I hate that one.
See, that because nobody ever does that. They just guys go down and touch it and they leave it alone. I'm thinking return guys need to be smarter than that.
Well, what's really weird about that point. And what's weird about that rule is even if the returner later on goes on to fumble it or whatever, it still comes back.
Yeah, it goes
to that
back
downs.
To that spot. Right.
I don't like that.
You can't lose.
I think once the receiving team picks it up, the possession changes. I don't like that rule either. Someone texted. This is a hard left here. We're going another direction.
Okay.
Said you see the article SB Nation posted after the U.S. lost to Jamaica that Jurgen Klinsmann should be fired. What do you think about that? All right, here's my deal on Jurgen. I used to be all in on Jurgen and that this was going to be a long, long road. And it is a long, long road. And the U.S. has seemingly been getting better as Jurgen has gone along until now. You know, all of a sudden the U.S. fell apart in the Gold Cup. And the Jamaica game is easy to point to because, yes, the U.S. should never lose to Jamaica. But really, we were bad that whole tournament, except when we played Cuba, who was just so vastly overmatched, it didn't matter. We got handed to us by Honduras. We lucked into winning because of some lucky goals, but that team outpossessed us, outshot us, out everything to us in that game. The Jurgen thing, like, I don't think he should be fired yet, but I think it's a conversation now worth having before the 2018 World Cup, because, and I almost think you can't fire him before then, because part of his youth movement and getting all the guys, that's kind of the World Cup they've been working towards. It'd be like the Astros firing Jeff Luhnow before 2017. I mean, that's, or 2016, that's the year everyone's pointed to. Or kind of A&M, if A&M fired Kevin Sumlin before next season, that's the year that everyone's been pointing to. The 2018 World Cup was the one where everyone thought, all right, the U.S., they're not going to be Germany, they're not going to be Brazil, but maybe they can be England. You know, maybe they can be one of these teams that makes the knockout round, and not England of the last World Cup, but what England normally is. And I don't know if they're going to get there.
Are you, you're the soccer guy on the staff. Didn't the U.S. women make a coaching change shortly before the Women's World Cup?
I am not familiar with the U.S. women's coaching situation. Now, I will say those are huge differences, because the U.S. women are the most talented team in the world. With the exception of maybe the German women. The U.S. men will never be the most talented team in the world. And they'll probably never even be top five. Maybe not even top eight. But, I don't know. It's one of those things that you watch the U.S. play now, and it just doesn't look like good soccer. So, I don't think he should be fired, but I do think it's a conversation that's getting closer to being worth having than it was a couple years
ago. I think it would be nice. This is me. I mean, I'd kind of like to get people whose names are easier to pronounce. I think I'd be up for that.
You know, like Jurgen?
Jurgen. I never was a big Pia Sundage fan either, but, you know, so.
Yeah, and another thing is, who's going to coach U.S. soccer? You got to have someone lined up, and we'll see. When his generation of guys comes through, we'll see how the U.S. does in 2018. We're going to get hosed in that World Cup anyway, because it's in Russia and they hate us, so I don't know what the point even is. But we'll see. We're getting closer.
We should get, like, American-sounding names coaching these international deals. Like Mike Krzyzewski, coach of the basketball.
You know, right. John Calipari. The great American-sounding names. Who knows? But we'll see. That's my thought on that. Not quite yet, but he's certainly worth being talked about now. Let's go to break. When we come back, we had an interesting conversation in the newsroom earlier that I thought we'd bring over to radio and see what you guys thought. And then, again, send us in whatever you want, 229-1939. We will get to it. Or, if it's easier, you can tweet at us, too. You can tweet at us at MyAggieNation or at Aubrey R. Bloom. Or what is it, DC Scoop Sports.
Scoop Sports. Right.
Yeah, whatever you want to tweet at us, you can do that. Text us, tweet us, whatever. Your topics, we'll get to those. Let's talk about A&M football a little bit when we come back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver with the news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. The president and three vice presidents of the Houston YMCA are meeting with 20 local officials about the possibility of building a branch in the Twin Cities. Leader of the steering committee, Carl Mooney, was asked by his colleagues on the College Station City Council last night if the Y was expecting the city to pay what Mooney estimated was an $18 to $25 million facility.
Might the city be able to contribute towards that, the construction of that facility? Perhaps, maybe donation of land, for example? That would be one way to do it.
Mooney says private donations are covering the cost of today's meeting with the Y delegation. Identities have been released of three people in a car reported stolen from Brazos County that was involved in a high-speed chase of the DPS trooper Wednesday night that ended in a crash on Highway 105 near the Brazos River Bridge. The driver, 18-year-old Devon Frederick Cross of Navasota, was arrested and taken to the Washington County Jail following medical treatment. The passenger who was ejected and died was identified as 29-year-old Amelia Mejia of Waco. And the other passenger who was ejected, 18-year-old Justin Garcia O'Brien, remains hospitalized in Brenham. It's more than Washington insiders who consider it an extraordinary accusation. Rush Limbaugh on WTAW today interviewing Senator Ted Cruz after he called Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a liar on the Senate floor.
I called out the Majority Leader for looking 54 Republicans in the eye and telling a flat-out lie. It was a very unfortunate day for the Senate. It's not a good day when the Majority Leader is willing to lie to the members of the Senate.
Cruz says McConnell lied about how he would handle a vote to renew the Export-Import Bank. McConnell not on the floor when Cruz made the statement. Texas Court of Appeals has thrown out one of two criminal charges against Rick Perry related to his defunding of the state's public integrity unit. Perry still charged with abusing his power by vetoing funding because Travis County District Attorney Rosemary Lindbergh did not resign after she was convicted of drunk driving. But a charge of coercing a public servant was dismissed because the appeals court ruled that violated Perry's right of free speech. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
It's a 2-person, 9-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prices for net, gross, and skins. Prices for net, gross, and skins. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day of. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Welcome back. Man, they're quick out with the music today. You don't know. You don't get to enjoy that.
Was that Superfly?
I think so, but it's gone as soon as we start.
If we're going to do Superfly, if we're going to hit that era, why don't we get the theme from Shaft on there?
Well, you know, I'm not in charge of the music department. That's out of my hands. So it is Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell. We are hanging out, talking about whatever y'all want to talk about, whatever we want to talk about, whatever's on everybody's mind. You can hit us up, 229-1939, or give us a call, 693-1150. Earlier in the newsroom, we were talking about, I don't even know how it came up, but we were talking about the first game A&M in Arizona State playing at NRG Stadium. And I was saying, it's been a while since A&M played a game that mattered in Houston. And the reason I brought this up is because normally when you think of A&M towns, you think of a city that A&M could play in where their fans are going to carry the day is Houston. That's certainly the most A&M of the major cities. Ironically, Austin might be second, but it's a lot of Aggies down there in Houston, and it's been forever since A&M played a game that mattered down there. And so we thought we'd look into it and see how long exactly it's been. And I put this out on Twitter, and some people said, "What about it was the Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas in 2011?" I said, "If you were playing in a bowl game after you fired your coach, doesn't count." So that one, it obviously is not a huge game. It didn't even sell out. So that game was not.
It was just amazing how little excitement there was.
Yeah,
for that
no one
game.
Cared about that game, and it was so that one doesn't count. The last time before that was the 2001 GalleryFurniture.com Bowl when A&M played TCU in the Astrodome. No, that one also doesn't count. You don't get two middle-of-the-road teams. In fact, ESPN's lead on that story was, if you convince yourself enough that you care about a mid-tier bowl game, then maybe you just might. So, no, that doesn't count either.
So, and I asked this before, if it had worked out where Texas and Texas A&M had played in the Texas Bowl last year. Would that have counted?
That would have counted. Any A&M Texas game would count. So, yeah. I think that definitely
would have
counted.
Which is what I wanted. And yeah. You guys shot me down in here on
well,
that.
Well, for about 30 minutes, I thought it was going to happen. And then A&M was announced to the Liberty Bowl. But because we just didn't see the Liberty Bowl coming. But so that would have counted. But the next one back, you know, depending on what you count as, does it really matter? Does anyone care? 1994, A&M was sort of ranked in one poll when they played Houston. But the problem is that they were ineligible for the postseason that year. And they couldn't be on TV, if I remember correct. So the 94 season, maybe A&M fans cared because they were still undefeated. But I don't think that it was a big game on the national scale. So my most recent one that I could find, 1990. A&M was ranked, I think, 18th, and Houston was ranked 12th when A&M played at Houston.
That's good.
So it's been a while since A&M played down there. So
where did they play that in 1980? Was that the Astrodome?
I don't know where. I didn't look all that specifics up. But I just thought that was fascinating, given that, you know, in Dallas, which a lot of people kind of, you know, meh, could take or leave as an A&M town, it's definitely not an A&M town. It's a Texas town, and maybe even an Oklahoma town before it's an A&M town. A&M plays in Dallas all the time. They played Arkansas there every year. They've played in the Cotton Bowl, what, three times in the last 15 years or so.
Played up at SMU.
They played at SMU a couple times. They played at SMU last year. They played at SMU in 2012. So they play there all the time. But they haven't played. And we're stretching the boundaries here a little bit. We're DFW.
We're counting Arlington. DFW.
Yeah, we're counting all of DFW.
If the Tulsa Shock can move to the DFW area, which is Arlington, golly, we can count it. Anything in the
right.
Over there.
So I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting look at, you know, you would think A&M would try to play more neutral site games in Houston as opposed to Dallas, given how much closer Houston is. But I guess not. I guess the thinking is that A&M has Houston anyway. It's already close enough that they'd rather play in Dallas. But I just thought it was, like I said, a fascinating look. A&M hasn't played a meaningful game there in forever. And the whole thing got brought up because I was saying that our A&M reporter should go down to the Yale practice down there the night before, because I bet that could be a pretty wild scene, because it's been a minute since Houston's had a big game for
A&M. I'm on your side on this, because I think, it's not something I really intend to do, is to come in here and agree with you on stuff, but I do agree with you on this, because I don't think that bowl game, or the Meineke Carcare Bowl game, meant anything. It has been a while since.
Yeah, and I'm sure it meant something to the players, but we're not talking about the players. We're talking about what's the scene like the night before.
Yeah.
Are the fans taking over the bars? Are they leading yells? Are they going crazy? And that's been a bit in Houston. So I've been getting more and more hype for the start of the season, and that was one thing I was thinking about earlier today.
Isn't Austin hosting a bowl game this year?
I don't know if it starts till next year or if it starts this year.
Maybe it is next year.
But
maybe
that would be a fun one. It has no SEC ties.
But you brought up the fact.
There are a lot of Aggies in Austin.
There's a lot more
than people think.
So you would have to be really bad but good enough to still make a bowl game, 6-6.
Yeah, it'd have to be one of those, there's not enough bowlable teams out of other conferences,
right.
So they kind of slide teams around. Yeah,
yeah,
that would be the only way that A&M could play in that one. But that'd be kind of funny, A&M playing a pseudo-home game in Memorial Stadium. I don't know if people would go or if they'd be grossed out. I don't know what they would do.
It would be interesting to see, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. It could be kind of funny.
I wonder if they'd light the tower maroon if A&M won. Probably not.
Something says they probably wouldn't. elsewhere in college football today, it came out of Ohio State that Braxton Miller going to play a little wide receiver. How do you feel about that?
Well, I for a guy that was a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, people talk all the time about guys not taking one for the team. Well, he just did. I mean, I think the guy is contributing to what they need to do, and then they've still got two pretty good guys at the quarterback spot. And how many people around the country would have loved for that guy to transfer there?
Yeah, supposedly it's not a full-time move. He could still work at quarterback. The concern seems to be that he has a little shoulder fatigue, that maybe he just can't throw the football like he used to. So he's going to try at wide receiver. I think it's probably a good move for him, because as good as Braxton Miller is, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback,
right.
I don't think.
Yeah, the way I understand it, it's more of an H-back position that he's playing, so he's going to be moving around in the backfield.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, that they'll be able to work a package of things that he can do that'll be a little bit different.
And since it's Urban Meyer, he'll be looked at as the next Percy Harvin. Right, that's what always been. Who's the next Percy Harvin? And there's never been a next Percy Harvin, but everyone's been trying ever since Urban left.
That I didn't think of. So you're ahead of me there.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe because, like I said, he was a little bit of their whatever you call it, H back, scat back, A back. Yeah. That's what Fran called it at A&M, but whatever you want to call it, the kind of a flex back. He'll play that. But I think it's interesting. I always like when. Usually when a guy gives another position a try, it means he's not very good at the first one.
That's not the case here.
It does not appear to be the case. And I don't know. I'm fascinated to see how it works out for him. Obviously, around A&M, we've seen some successful. Ryan Tannehill, obviously, was a great wide receiver. You can make a pretty good argument that he's one of A&M's five or six best wide receivers ever. If you look at his per-catch stats and stuff like that. So maybe he'll have a Tannehill-esque season.
And when he did move to the quarterback spot, and I think everybody knew he could play quarterback, but not like he ended up playing it and to have the NFL career he had, not when he was playing wide receiver. I don't think anybody thought of that.
Yeah, and, Tannehill was an interesting quarterback, too, because he was good at A&M, but he wasn't, like, that good. He wasn't so good that you were like, all right, this is an NFL franchise quarterback, at least in my opinion. I didn't think he was quite that good coming out. But he was fascinating to see him. He would practice a little bit at wide receiver. He'd practice a little bit at quarterback.
Yep.
In fact, people forget this, but Gerard Johnson also played wide receiver a little bit. He didn't play it as much as Tannehill, but once Tannehill was the quarterback, he did play a little bit of wide receiver. He wasn't particularly good at it, but he did get out there and he played it a little bit. So,
But like you said, Tannehill was a tremendous wide receiver.
Oh, he was great.
Play.
Yeah, like I said, if you're going per possession stats and per catch stats, it would be hard not to say he's one of A&M's, eight, ten best wide receivers they've ever had. So, again, a little bit of stuff there. Let's go to final break of the first hour. We'll come back, do a little Today in Aggie History, some Monday in Aggie history. We're a little bit of Aggie history future, a little bit. Found this too. Some interesting stuff going on over
fast
there.
Fast forward it.
Yeah. Back to the future or something. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to word this yet, but we'll do something. And then whatever y'all want to talk about. 229-1939 with your whatever's on your mind. Your hot takes. Your lukewarm takes, whatever it is, we'll talk about.
You know what you can call it? Days of future past.
Future past. That's probably pretty good. We'll tell you about that, what's going on over there at the big campus. Well, actually, at the Riverside campus. So we will talk about that when we come back in a little bit. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brazos Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after-school activity guide. Brazos Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back-to-school issue of Brazos Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
Don't miss the return of the Bellucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Bellucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Bellucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
The Cherry Rufino team. Buy or sell with me and use my moving van for free. Go to cherryrufino.com.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Normandy Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land price shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 to
implement rebate and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Norman G. asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Polaris Fun Center reminds you that the summer is here and it's time to ride. Find your new Polaris during the summer sales event going on now at Polaris Fun Center. Get huge rebates across the entire lineup from the world leader in off-road innovation, like $1,000 off a Ranger XP 900, $800 off Sportsman XP 1000, not to mention all the other huge rebates for Razor and Polaris Ace with financing as low as 2.99% on every machine in the lineup. It's the Polaris Summer Sales Event at Polaris Fun Center, just 1.5 miles north of Villa Maria on Texas Avenue in Bryan, where they sell and service fun, not tractors.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Power. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
I like this one, David. It eases us back in. It's like a slow build towards coming back on the show. Welcome back to Aggie Nation. It's the Friday show. Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell. We're hanging out.
Strumming a bass.
Yeah. Slapping a bass. Is that from, I don't forget what that movie's called. Okay. This is the cool, we've got some future news, and then we've got, we'll do the thing here in a second. Okay, so I got a full disclosure of why I think this is interesting before we get into it, is I was a anthropology minor in college, so I had to take a few archaeology classes.
Explains dealing with sports guys.
Right. That's why I'm so good at talking about some of these things. No, the Conservation Research Lab over at Texas A&M is set on Monday to get 4 cannons from the wreckage of, and this is why it's cool, the Civil War vessel, the CSS Georgia. It's a Confederate ironclad ship that's being raised in the Savannah River. But they're going to send some cannons over there to the school on Monday. How cool is that? That is old right there.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it's been like sitting in the river for the...
Yeah, it's been in the Savannah
150
River.
150 years?
Yeah, for the last 150 years. So, kind of cool. I'm a big history guy. I love history stuff. And obviously, the Civil War was a good bit ago. So, to find that in the river is kind of interesting.
I mean, when did they find this? Do you know?
I don't... It looks like it started last year. They're channeling the Savannah River, and they kind of came across this, or they kind of knew it was there, but now they've got to get it out of the way. And so they've been digging up and conserving it. And the reason it goes to A&M is because the Conservation Research Lab is one of the best conservation labs in the country.
I've seen some stuff about...
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but one of LaSalle, the World Explorer's ships, the Belle or La Belle, is out at the Riverside campus, just out there.
Really?
Undergoing the conservation process, just out there at the Riverside campus, just out there. Just to go see. I don't know if you can walk in and see it. But, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool thing that no one knew is going on over here.
If you're, like, driving by, you pull over. Hey, that guy, can I see that?
Well, the Riverside campus is, like, who knows what's going on out there?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I know that's going on out there.
It's like Area 51.
Yeah, it is. No one knows what's going on out there at Riverside. But that is one of the things going on. They got some old cannons coming in there. So that'll be kind of cool. Hopefully those get on display once they've got them all fixed up and conserved and everything. So kind of a neat deal. Also, though, that's future history because we're going to talk about that Monday. Well, let me hit people with a little bit of today in Aggie history.
And now, today in Aggie history.
All right, it's the summer. We got to keep that in mind that today's the summer days in Aggie history get a little few and far between because not a lot's happening, quite frankly. So
the summer days in just about everything get like that. But go ahead.
Yeah. The last 3 days in Aggie history were all birthdays. So today, and we didn't do them earlier this week, so we're going to kind of run through them. Today, July 24, 1974, was the birthday of Keith Mitchell, one of the all-time Aggie greats, who, according to the article on MyAggieNation.com, is now a certified yoga instructor So really? You can get yoga taught by Keith Mitchell, apparently.
Yoga.
Yesterday, July 23rd, 1917, Royce Weisenbaker, class of 39. Most people probably don't know who he is, but they know the building, the Weisenbaker building. His birthday was yesterday. And then Wednesday, July 22nd, 1876. So a few, couple months before A&M opened school for the first time.
So there was no class of...
No. There was no class of 1876.
Okay.
July 22nd, 1876, Edwin Jackson Kyle was born. The guy that Kyle Field is named for. Who's actually buried in Bryan. Did you know that?
He
has a little nondescript...
I didn't even know who Kyle Field was named for.
Yeah, Edwin Jackson Kyle, class of 1899. He has a little really nondescript headstone at the Bryan Cemetery. Edwin Jackson Kyle is buried over there.
But he's got a pretty good tribute out here.
Yeah, right. The building is more famous by quite a bit. So there you go.
I think I could live with that. Not having, I'll bypass the headstone to get Kyle Field named after me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a few today's days in Aggie history. So I thought we would share those with everyone. Kind of, you know, interesting stuff. Not everyone's into the history stuff, but, you know, I'm a huge fan. The Conservation Lab is one of those really cool things on campus that not a lot of people know about. So out here... maybe you learned something. If nothing else from this show, maybe you learned something.
I've learned something already today.
All right. Now, I need to apologize to everybody. We got that part out of the way. We got a few minutes left here for the big break. I need to apologize because someone did text in and said, wow, did he really just throw out Fran's name? Shake my head. Not cool. I'm sorry. I did mention Fran because we had Jason Carter on not too long ago, and he talked about that one season where he played, like, A-back, where they were like,
yeah,
gotta get in the football, and they never really did. You know, like for all of his, he was the talk of the spring game, 200 yards and all this stuff. He was okay during the season, but never really made a huge impact. And but he played that position, that sort of A back. Like maybe we'll throw it to you, maybe we'll hand it to you, maybe we'll let you throw it every now and then. It never really panned out. So my apologies on speaking about the guy who, as you said, must not be named.
Yeah, he who must not be named. He's turned into Voldemort around here.
Right.
Who knew? I mean, who knew?
Yeah, at the time, who knew he'd be?
Voldemort came back though. Keep that in mind. Don't want to scare you. Don't want to scare you. But Voldemort wasn't gone for good.
So you're saying it's not gone for good until A&M plays.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
So you're saying until A&M plays Texas State and exercises the Fran demons.
He's in Texas State now. You never know. You never know.
If he goes somewhere that A&M has to play him in a legit game, that would be quite the comeback story, right?
Just a thought. I mean, he's, you know, he had a good career that kind of bellied up here a little bit, but he had a
dicey situation at Bama where like it looked like maybe he was turning things. He was the master of almost turning things around. You know, he would get close and then the bottom would fall out again. That certainly happened, well, really twice at A&M where it looked like, okay, maybe things are going the right way.
It did pretty well at TCU. Apparently, his defensive coordinator might have been the better coach on the team.
Yeah, that guy was pretty good. But anyway, I had to apologize for mentioning Dennis Franchione. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't want to start everyone's weekend out.
You said it again. You said it again.
Yeah, but now I'm already down the rabbit hole. I might as well just keep going. I'm trying to dig out to the other side. So, you know, again, sorry about that. It is kind of an interesting – that whole era was bizarre. And what people that listen to the show a lot know, I was in school then. Those were my – formative year. That might be why I like basketball more than football, is because when I was in college, that's what we had to look forward to. I've told the story here before about getting on my freshman year was Coach Fran's first year, or he's who should not be named his first year, and I got all my friends like psyched up to go up to the game in Oklahoma and watch A&M lose 77-0.
Yeah,
and it just never really, like, that's